One announcement before we begin our study this evening. Alan has an appointment with the funeral home tomorrow at 11. And he will find out then exactly what they have asked for. Is for a visitation to be this coming Friday evening here at our building. And the funeral service to take place Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. And it may be that they're going to go to the funeral home at 10 or 11. Do you remember? Scott, do you remember? Okay, y'all don't need to know that anyway, because you have nothing to do with them going to the funeral home. But they will be making, we will be making more announcements to you about the exact time once they have confirmation for what they would like to have and what they would want. If you were in first service this morning, you missed something because in second service, I made a point when we were talking about 2 Peter and repeating and paying attention that you needed to listen. And if you weren't listening, and if you went to sleep, I knew who you were because I see that all the time and I'm not afraid to call names. And tonight I was asked by one of the ones that was in second service, well, since this is a Sunday night service, is it all right if we catnap during this? And I said, well, no, it isn't, but I want to change that and give it something different. I'm not going to be calling out anybody's name, but just know the Lord sees a lot more than I do. And just be aware of that. We're going to look at a lesson tonight that I was asked to do just a brief presentation to our new deacons with regard to the meaning of the word deacon. And I thought it would be good to share that with all of you for two reasons. One is because it gives us an opportunity to take a look at how to do a word study. And we're not going to go into a great deal of detail, but I thought it would be beneficial and helpful if you weren't already aware of this. Most of you already are. But to take a look at what you can do with regard to your study of the Bible. And we're just simply going to use the word deacon. We have the English word deacon, and the Greek word is diakonos. And if you notice, all that we have done basically in the translations is whenever the word deacon is found, it is simply what is called a transliteration. The word means servant or minister. That's the definition of the word. But the Greek word is there, it means servant or master. And it's spelled diakonos, like you see there. And that word is transliterated. And instead of defining it, instead of telling us what it means, they will, in some places in the Bible, give us just a transliteration. In other words, they take the Greek words and substitute them with English words and create a new word. The Bible, our translators, do that quite often. One other example that comes to mind is the word baptism. Baptism is not a definition. It is not the meaning of the Greek word. It is the Greek word put into English letters. And the word baptism actually means to dip or to plunge or to immerse. And that's created a lot of situations for us in Christianity. But the word is transliterated in several places. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul writes a letter to the elders and to the deacons, writes a letter to the church at Philippi, including the elders and the deacons, and there the word is transliterated. When the instructions are given for the deacons and the qualifications that are needed for their office is given, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, verse 10, verse 12, and verse 13, the word is transliterated. It is not necessarily translated, it's just transliterated, and we have that word there. In Romans chapter 16, verse 1, phobi is talked about as a, Romans chapter 1, a servant, if you're reading the English Standard Version of the Bible. And if you're reading most other translations of the Bible, the word is translated for be a servant. But if you read the New International Version or the New Revised Standard, they transliterate deacon. She is a deacon of the church at Centuria. And so those are the places where it's normally transliterated. But that's not normally what occurs. Before we get into the main part of this, let's take a look at what's stated in regard to deacon. First place we're going to go is to the book of Acts, where there is an event that takes place and it's described for us here. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists, that's the Greek-speaking people, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrew-speaking people, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables." Do you see deacons in those two verses? You don't see the word transliterated, but the first part is this word. They were being neglected in the daily deaconing. They were being neglected in the daily distribution. Then the second one is in this one, where the apostles respond, "It is not right that we should give up preaching of the word of God to serve tables." What are the tables that they're talking about being served? The ones where they are distributing the food to the widows that are in need. And so while these men who take over this job are never themselves referred to as deacons, what they are doing is very much involved in that word, and it's defined for us a little bit better than just giving us a transliteration of what the word says. That continues with Peter still talking, the apostles still talking, and they say, "Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." You see deacon there. You might think, I'm seeing two. There's one. And that one is the word ministry. The word duty could come very close to the idea, but it's a different Greek word. It's not the same Greek word that is translated as deacon. It's a different Greek word. But it comes very close to the idea of what's being done. And they will devote themselves to the ministry of the word. I want you to think for a minute about the qualifications for the deacons. This is where the word is transliterated. We have the word deacon. It's not necessarily translated, although we understand it, because it's referring to a group of men who serve the church. Deacons likewise, and notice the qualifications and notice the nature of them. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Pretty much what the qualifications are about is the quality of their life, how they live, and what they're doing. It's pretty much what the qualifications are about as we look at them here. Then we look at the rest of it, and it says this: their wives, Greek word there is gune, which means a wife or a woman. Some translations, like the English Standard Version does here, will say their wives, meaning the wives of the deacons. Other translations will say the women, which brings us back to the idea that Paul mentions in Romans 16:1 about a woman that was a servant or a deaconess of the church in Centuria, Paul encouraging the church at Rome to help her with what she might need. He goes on to say, in talking about the deacons, let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. So there are about five places in the Bible where the word is transliterated into our word deacon. But there are about 32 verses, maybe even 37, depending on translations that you look at, but I think mostly 32 verses where you don't have the word deacon, but instead you have what's referred to as lemmas. Lemmas are simply the words that you would use to translate the word. That's just simply, if you were to look up the word in a dictionary, it would be the listing of the words that could be and would be used in English to translate that word. We're not going to look through all 32 verses, but I thought it would be good just to give a sense of what we mean by deacon, and all of us are, as we're going to see, in one way or another, a deacon, a servant. But let's take a look, and we're going to look at some verses, and we're going to just look at them from the standpoint of each one of these verses offers a translation, a lemma, of the original word that is translated for us in the Bible as deacon. Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, after Jesus was tempted, angels ministered to him. That's the word. Ministered to him. Some translations, instead of using the word ministered to him, will say they attended to him. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 15, this is when Peter's mother-in-law was healed by Jesus. He raised her up. She got up and served him, according to Matthew. According to Mark and Luke, she got up and served them, served everyone that was in the house. Jesus will say about himself in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, the Son of Man came to serve, and he asked us to do the same. And it's that word, deacon, that's translated, and it's translated to mean serve. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 44, Lord, when did we see you hungry and not minister? Other translations will say, and did not care for, and did not help. And Jesus will go on to say, as much as you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. And there will be others who will be condemned because I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me to drink. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. And they're going to say the same thing. Lord, when did we ever see you that way? And the idea of the deacon here is in three different translations is translated by different words of such as minister to, care for, or help. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 55, the Bible will say many women ministered to him. Talking about Jesus, many women ministered to him. Another translation will say they cared for his needs. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 3, women provided for him. Other translations will say they contributed support to them, to Jesus and his apostles. How many times are you doing the work of a deacon? When you look at all these different meanings and all that was done that are described by that word, then think about how often and how many times this body of people or you individually are doing the work that would be defined as our word deacon without holding what we would call the office or the work of a deacon in a special way. Luke chapter 10, verse 40, Martha was distracted by much deaconing, by much serving. Luke chapter 12, verse 37, to the faithful slaves, Jesus says this, to the faithful slaves, the master, and that's Jesus, talking about those who've been faithful in coming to Jesus, to the faithful slaves, the master will wait on them. serve them. Talking about Jesus being the one doing the serving. Likewise, I mean, in Luke chapter 22, verse 26, the greatest among you is to become like the servant. That's who the greatest will be. Acts chapter 19, verse 22, the Apostle Paul is writing about the work that is going to be done, and he's talking about two helpers that went with him into Macedonia. And those two helpers that went with him into Macedonia were Timothy and Erastus. But the word two helpers, the helpers are also translated those who ministered. They went with him in order to serve. Help him and serve others. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, Paul wants to know from the church at Corinth, do I need to write you a letter of recommendation? Am I not your letter of recommendation? Am I not the one who cared for you? And so Paul is writing this to the church at Corinth, cared for by us, Paul and those that worked with him, and that's the idea that's there. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 19, Titus is going to go with Paul, and Titus is going to go join the group that is going with Paul in order to administer or to minister all the money that's being supplied by the Gentiles to those Jewish Christians in Judea. And it is an administration. They're seeing to it that that job is done and that job is taken care of, and they are ministers of it. Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18, is talking to Timothy about Onesiphorus. And he describes Onesiphorus in a lot of different ways. He will say concerning him that Onesiphorus has refreshed me often. He will also describe Onesiphorus as coming to Rome when Paul is in prison there and searching for him until he finds him in prison, and then in order to be with him and help him. And Paul says to Timothy, you know what service he has done in Ephesus. You know his work, the service he has done, and the service he has rendered. I thought it might be helpful just to take a look at this word and see how it is used in so many different places in the Bible. And to me, it begins to help us to focus back again on what we need to be about, what we need to be doing. And one of the key words involved in it is, like Jesus said, the one who would be the greatest among you, let him be the servant of all. Let him be the deacon of all. Let him be the one that goes about doing good and trying to help. And that's what we all need to be about as we go through. We're going to end our service, as we do all of them, with an opportunity. If you're ready to become a Christian, we're ready for you to become one. If you need to come home to Christ, we're ready for you to do that as well. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.